Well, welcome, my friends, to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. How are you doing today?
You pointed at the camera.
I want to make sure everybody knows that I see them.
You can't point at the camera. That's
I can point.
Oh, that's awful.
I can't point now?
I was told by somebody one time, if you point, just being rude.
Thumbs up. That better?
Good morning.
Hope you guys are enjoying your morning with us. We got a bunch of topics we're going to be covering on the show today. And be sure to check out the product of the week. You voted and it won on Team Health Masters, the D3 with K2. Fantastic product to maintain healthy D3 levels in the body. So be sure to check that out on the website at Team Health Masters and the other kits that we have going on. And the Fit Food Protein, which is a big one with the purple sticks. Actually, I'm probably about to make a shake here in a second. I'm getting hungry.
You want protein?
I'm hungry. Yeah, you got a can over there?
Yeah, I do.
Actually, I got more eggs in this morning, but that was early.
Oh, we're going to talk about eggs in a minute.
Yeah, we got a bunch of cool stuff going on eggs.
I'll have one too.
And also, be sure to check out thebrowershow.com. We got a bunch more updates on there. We're doing some more updates on the show as well, because we're going to be doing short snippets and reels. And I got a little bit left in here. The thing about this is, on these shows, we're trying to bring together as much content as we can. You guys know we don't have anything as far as to do with ads or commercials. Now, we are on Rumble. You guys do know that.
Now, the Rumble one, guess what? We get to talk about stuff on Rumble that we don't get to talk about on YouTube, which is kind of fun.
Yeah. But the thing is, also, too, if you look here, this one with the morning energy stack with the purple sticks and the Fit Food, this is always my go-to whenever I get hungry, and some magnesium. But if you have, look at here, this is like I said, this is the last show. Let me pull it up. Oh, there it is. From Supreme Court to golf cart tragedies.
Yesterday, Mike's funny with the way he writes himself. I love it.
So it's on Rumble, Spotify, Gab, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, and I think a few other ones. So be sure to check that out, guys, if you want, on all the different platforms. In detail, we talked about yesterday with YouTube, or not with YouTube, with Amazon, with what's going on with them starting to do rural deliveries now. And on top of that, UPS is cutting an enormous amount of their workforce.
20,000 employees getting
maxed. That's a big deal.
And closing a bunch of hubs.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, this is Fit Food Protein. It comes out of New Zealand, 100% New Zealand protein. It's really good.
Well, it's really good to stave off the appetite and get, you know, 20, 30 grams of protein in. When you stack it with the purple sticks, it makes a really good morning energy.
I've already had my purple sticks this morning. I couldn't take one of those. I love the purple sticks. That's these little boxes here. So, you know.
If you guys need any, a lot of times if you request them, if you want to try them, if you place an order with us, especially if it's over the phone, let us know on the phone. We'll throw a couple of samples in the box. I've done that for a lot of customers now that want to try them out. And they're already putting an order in, and they don't want to necessarily buy a box, which I don't know why. Once you try them, you love them. But I'll throw a couple of packets in the box with you if you guys want to try them.
Yesterday, I had a friend come over, and this is a really, really good person. And she's basically, we talked to her about God a few years ago.
Yeah.
And she got really committed to Christ now, and she's going to church. And I asked her if she'd like to have a box of purple sticks because she doesn't drink coffee. She does because she does green tea.
Yeah.
So she texted me this morning. She goes, wow, I love these purple sticks. Oh, my gosh. These are great.
Yeah. So they're a product. They're a great product on here. And you guys know my staple for breakfast is usually eggs. I usually like 4 eggs in the morning. Really keeps blood sugar tight. And there's an article here that goes into detail. It says eggs, a complete protein that supports brain and muscle function. And that's interesting because as a lot of media has been trying to, you know, spew out, talking about how eggs are bad for the last 30, 40 years, it's really starting to flip with the research is really starting to go into the favor of eggs on a regular basis because of how good they are with the omega-3 fats, one of the most bioavailable proteins.
Boost brain function.
Choline. Eggs basically talks about how you can mix them in with just about anything. I mean, I make eggs with rice before. I make eggs with ground beef. I mean, you can mix anything with them. And they're incredibly good. It says the key nutrients that the egg protein is highly bioavailable, 97% absorption rate.
Is the protein efficiency ratio is what eggs are based on.
And
what,
yeah, they're top of the list.
Top of the list.
So brain function, benefits for eyes, all kinds of stuff. So, I mean, you guys know a lot about eggs, but it's funny. There's another article coming out once again about eggs. Now, this is another article, too, as everybody's been kind of wondering what's been going on with these egg prices, and they're starting to taper down now. And, you know, Dad talked about it in detail about a month and a half ago, and how these egg prices were going at such an increased rate that wasn't even natural as far as the price.
Like 500% increase.
Right. Mm-hmm. And now we're coming out here. Egg companies are getting bailouts while price gouging customers. This is on the hill now. This is all starting to hit the, basically hit the fan, so to speak. Egg prices reached another record last month. Now they're slowly starting to taper off. This average egg price is $6.23 for a dozen eggs, nearly a five-fold increase.
500%, yeah.
Because the alleged bird flu, and that's what they've claimed it is. They said, yeah, while families have been squeezed in the grocery store, Cal-Maine, the country's largest egg producer, took in $509 million this quarter alone,
tripling
its profits from a year ago.
Now I'm going to ask you a question, and you know what I'm going to ask. Who owns Cal-Maine?
When I pulled that up, this is just public record. BlackRock.
Well, how about that? Can you show it on the screen?
I can pull it up. I sure can.
Yeah. Who owns Cal-Maine? I sent you the link.
Yeah.
And it says exorbitant egg prices have ostensibly been caused by repeated avian flu outbreaks in recent years, or so they claim. Or at least that's the industry story. There we go.
Yeah.
As the organization Farm Action explained in a letter to the Federal Trade Commission over the last 2 years, some 115 million egg-laying chickens supposedly have been culled in response to the avian flu outbreak. You know, the thing about it is, this stuff, these numbers they give us, who's counting 115 million?
Oh, I know.
I mean, I'm serious. Now, how in the world does anyone count? You know how tall it would take just to count to a million? And you're going to kill 115 million chickens. Is this an estimate, or are they just saying basically this is what they've done?
Yeah, this is on Yahoo Finance, which I'm not digging anything weird here. This is Cal-Maine, Inc., top shareholders, top institutional holders. We have BlackRock
Vanguard.
Yeah.
And down here is State Street.
Yeah. Again, I'm just putting out public information.
And by the way, those three own about 90% of the stock market, just saying. So it's kind of a crazy world that we live in now.
Yeah, it is pretty crazy. And it says relatively modest decrease in egg supply should not have led to the exorbitant prices confronting consumers in the market now.
It's price gouging.
Exactly what it was. And you know, the U.S. Department of Agriculture gave Cal-Maine, listen to this, the U.S. Department of Agriculture gave Cal-Maine $22 million in avian bird flu relief last year and gave millions more to other major egg producers. So they were paying them money to subsidize to basically kill the chickens.
And not to basically produce eggs.
Yep.
That's crazy, isn't it? You know, one time I remember I was in Hawaii. This is a long time ago. And there was a guy sitting by the swimming pool of this resort.
Right.
And I'll never forget, he had, you know, wearing Rolex watches. He was wearing gold jewelry, had gold bracelets on. And finally, I said to him after a couple of days, I was so curious. He's a really nice guy. I said, you know, what do you do for a living? He goes, well, I have a dairy farm in Wisconsin. And he said, well, how many cows do you run? How big is your farm? He said, well, 1,500 acres. I said, that's a lot of land. And he goes, how much milk do you produce? He goes, I don't produce any milk.
Wait. So he had 1,500 acres.
And no cows.
Dairy farmer.
Yeah, no cows.
And produced no milk.
He had no cows. He said the government gave him so many subsidies, he didn't need to produce any milk.
That doesn't make sense.
Now, I don't know if they still do that or not. It's a long time ago. But the point is, it doesn't make any sense to me either. That's where our tax dollars are going.
Well, that's why we've seen some of the stuff over the last couple months.
With Doge, yeah.
With a lot of these numbers coming out, that just this money, this funny money, just going everywhere,
right,
except back to taxpayers.
By the way, I said I was going to cover this if it ever came into a mainstream cycle, and it did. It's on Daily Mail now. And this is important. JFK Jr. claims the U.S. is behind the sinister program once mocked as conspiracy theory and vows to end it. Now, this is Daily Mail. This is a legit story this time. It was once thought to be a conspiracy theory, but now the Trump administration is promising to put an end to what it calls crime against humanity, the chemtrail conspiracy. Here we go, Austin. I told you, when it came out on mainstream, I'd cover it. The chemtrail conspiracy focuses on the idea that the government is spraying a host of dangerous chemicals from commercial airliners to intentionally make people sick. The vast majority of mainstream science believe the theory has been thoroughly debunked that most condensation trails or contrails seen in the sky are the result of water vapor from aircraft exhausts. But the U.S. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a longtime believer they are part of a mass uncontrolled experiment. You believe this?
That's interesting.
Yeah. JRK Jr. has suggested the chemtrails are affecting the government, the environment, I'm assuming the environment and our health, along with touting geoengineers as a real program. After repeatedly calling this act a crime on social media, RFK addressed the issue during an interview with Dr. Phil.
Dr. Phil?
I'm telling you, this thing went mainstream now. Now, they're no hiding this thing under a rock anymore.
They're talking about them actually spraying particles in the air.
On Tuesday. These materials are put into the jet fuel, RFK Jr. explained. He asked, I'm going to do everything in my power to stop it.
Wow.
Find out who's doing it and holding them accountable. We will soon end this crime against humanity, he shared on X. The Secretary of Health and Human Services was responding to the audience members' questions, who said chemtrails or stratospheric aerosol injections were her biggest concern when it comes to public health. He added that the HHS was not responsible. It's a military operation. It was Operation Cloverleaf, what it used to be, CIA, for the alleged decision to spray chemicals into the atmosphere, but he did give his suspicions who would have done it. This is not happening in my agency, declared. You know, we don't do that. It's done. We think it's by DARPA. Military defense.
DARPA.
Mm-hmm. DARPA is the Pentagon's secretive innovation agency in charge of driving high-risk, high-reward research for defense purposes and beyond. The research is also believed to include advances in the medical field and AI. Wow. The fears over what is coming out of countless airliners globally has gained recent attention as the UK actually revealed new plans to fight climate change by dimming the sun. The geoengineering project calls for either stratospheric aerosol injections or brightening of clouds to reflect sunshine. I am amazed. I am so excited that RFK is actually doing this, because we talked about chemtrails and contrails in depth a couple of days ago on a video broadcast that we have that was on Rumble.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited about this that it's actually coming out in the mainstream, because, guys, listen to me. When you inject aerosol aluminum, you know, nanoparticles into jet fuel, and you have it come out of exhaust, because we've tested our water here. It's full of aluminum barium.
We tested rainwater.
Rainwater. Now, what happens, it could go right through the nose, through the olfactory system, directly into the brain. And a lot of studies now indicate, and seem to indicate, and have been for many, many years, that aluminum is one of the primary causes of senile dementia and Alzheimer's disease. So that's really important. You know, magnesium thionate, our magnesium brain food, is one of the only magnesium, in fact, it is the only magnesium product that can go in and actually help pull that heavy metal back out of the brain, and works great for brain fog. So I take that every single day. But guys, this is RFK talking to Dr. Phil, reported by the Daily Mail. So finally, it's coming out. This is real.
Well, there's always been this debate between contrails and chemtrails, and everybody's always kind of had this question, because there's been so much visual research and testing where you look at it, like when you have stuff like this, where that's not a contrail. You know, contrails, when you have the jet contrail out of a jet, you'll see it and eventually dissipates. These things just kind of turn into these fluffy cloud lines that sit there the entire day and turn into a haze. And that's when we tested our rainwater, purified rainwater and purified pipettes, and basically the aluminum.
Actually about 500 milliliter Pyrex beaker. We
kept, yes, that's what it was. And so, again, EPA only allows 200.8 as far as UGLs.
Give me camera four, Rich.
Of aluminum and actual drinking water. The testing that we had in the rainwater was 232 in our first test, 211 in our second test, meaning both rainwater samples had over the allowable aluminum limit as far as for EPA would allow a drinking water.
Now, this is our own test that we had done. So, I mean, so this is not some kind of conspiracy that we have known now. This is back in 2013 we did this experiment. Actually, in 2012. This has been 13 years ago. You know, I mean, so this is a long time ago we did this test, and we did it on two separate
and remember,
samples.
Free-form aluminum is not a natural metal as far as in
And I personally believe that we're having so much agricultural die-off now because plants can't handle free-form aluminum either. It destroys the feeder roots. And so it's very important that we understand this is causing a lot of problems in agriculture. I personally believe that a lot of the fact that we've lost almost all the citrus in Central Florida is because of this, because it makes the plants extremely weak. So it's been a wild ride with this, trying to get people to tell the truth about it, but finally RFK's come out on Dr. Phil and talked about
it. Right, and then the 103 UGLs of barium. Barium, it basically is never found in free-form element
It's an immune suppressor.
Right, but it's always in a large amount of other minerals. It's not just free-form in the air. So again, something to just look at and be aware of. Also, other news is the automotive industry. Auto sales had a robust April, but transaction prices are now set to rise 6 to 12% across the world now, Deutsche Bank said. So this is interesting. Going to be see what they're going to start doing. So the average transaction price for a brand new vehicle rose to $45,600.
Crazy, awesome. That's a lot of money.
And it's really crazy to start thinking about back what it was.
I used to buy a loaded Lariat F-250 Ford pickup truck with a diesel engine for like $32,000.
I remember there was that auction truck. It was back in the recession in 2008, 2009, about the silver lifted truck.
I remember that
10-inch Fabtech lift. It was a 2006 F-350 long, but I remember the 6.0 diesel, Lariat, sunroof, loaded up. And we bought it from the auction. I bought it for $23,000 because it was right there when the vehicle price hit the floor because of fuel. And I found the sticker in the glove box, and it was a 2006, low miles, lifted, custom, all this stuff. And back and it was only a 3-year-old truck.
Yeah.
And the sticker on it was like $48,000.
Yeah, we bought it for
now,
like $20,000.
Now, you both buy a Lariat Ultimate, loaded up. They're pushing $100,000 now.
I mean, who can afford that?
But that's crazy. I mean, think about that. In 17, 18 years, the price of almost the exact same truck has almost doubled. Doubled.
It's almost $100,000. Well, that one, what's that one platinum they have?
The limited. They got rid of the limited.
Oh, they did?
They got rid of the limited, and now it's a platinum ultimate.
Okay, and it's how much of that one?
About, say, about 100 plus thousand, 105, 108.
For a pickup truck.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. And so they're saying now here, they said, while April paints a rosy picture, Deutsche Bank is flashing some warning signs. Last month, it said essentially that production of vehicles is going to go down coming into 2025 because they said that the automakers are going to raise prices between 6 to 12% to comply with domestic assembly regulations and increase price on parts.
Wow.
So if they bump this up another 6 to 12%, they're going to have to drop production because a lot of vehicle sales are going to go down.
But what's going to happen is the used car market is going to continue to go way up.
That's what happened during COVID, except this is going to be on a more organic scale now instead of just fabricated because we dumped $7 trillion into the market in 1 year.
By the way, this is an interesting article. And it's talking about population control and population reduction. And it says population crash is coming. And it says the birth rates are too low to prevent extinction, scientists say. Now, I disagree with that.
Daddy, I don't know if I agree with that.
But I do believe that we're going to have a massive reduction in population because of all the, how should I say, the eugenics protocols that are so unbelievably obvious nowadays. And it says a new study of ancient and modern society shows that the human populations need at least 2.7 children per woman. That's actually correct. A much higher fertility rate than previously believed. It used to be about 2.1. It basically says while a fertility rate of 2.1 children per woman is then considered the replacement level needed to sustain the population, this figure doesn't account for random differences in how many children people have, as well as mortality rates, sex ratios, and probability of some adults will never have children. In small populations, these chance variations could wipe out entire family lineages. Why declining fertility rates are ticking up a time bomb. In a study published on April the 30th, 2025, in an open access journal, PLOS 1, Okaba of Sanaku University in Japan and his colleagues introduced the mathematical models they used to examine how demographic variability affects the survival populations over many generations. Now, what's funny, they're saying that a lot of the reasons that, you know, they're allowing this mass immigration to come into the United States is because the population of the United States is no longer reproducing itself in a sustainable fashion. We're talking about the people that live here. We've already seen this in Japan. We've already seen this in Germany. We've already seen this in a bunch of European countries. Sometimes the population replacement is 1.1, 1.2, which won't sustain us. Every generation, you have half the population die off. So this is a major problem. They're saying that's one of the reasons they brought so many people in for immigration. Now, there are a lot of other factors, too, including Cloward and Piven and a lot of stuff from the Frankfurt School. We have all these different things that we talk about on the show on an ongoing basis. But the reality is this is a problem. A lot of people often are suffering with severe problems with infertility now.
It is becoming more and more of a problem.
And with men, it's very important that you understand that one of the primary things that you can do for infertility as far as increasing the mobility and the ability of sperm to fertilize an egg is increase your zinc levels. Zinc is one of the most important minerals the body can get into its system. It also helps prevent graying hair.
And the best form of zinc glycinate, that's what we carry. Mm-hmm. It's pretty much the most absorbable form because remember, there's certain forms of zinc that are not that absorbable. And also, too, it's very good to make sure you're taking your zinc supplement with food. It also increases and enhances the bioavailability of
Now, I've been taking zinc for many, many decades, and I tell you what, that product is absolutely amazing to me. When you combine that with a powdered multiple, really good multiple we have, magnesium brain food, a few purple sticks, some protein, or GHI cleanse, you really start feeling good all of the time. And then when you throw the collagen peptides in, the joints start feeling great.
The joints start feeling good. I've had multiple people with the collagen. I don't even think I have a can of it. We keep using all of it up. We use it all. We got more coming in, and that's the type 1 and type 2 grass-fed bovine collagen peptides. You can check it out on the website, but that's a really popular product since we brought a new formula back in that works really good, and the absorbability of it is incredible. Team Health Masters, if you guys want to check that out. So be sure to check it out on the website at Team Health Masters. And also, too, this is other news right now. Out in 60 days, U.S. firm plans accelerated China exit. This is wild. So Wyze Labs, if you've ever heard of Wyze Labs, they do a lot of floodlights, ring cameras, wireless camera products. They're big on Amazon, but they got a big footprint. Well, they just put a huge post on Twitter and X, and this has been verified. They said, we got our first tariff bill. We imported 167,000 of floodlights and then paid 255,000 in tariffs. They said, for those who said we made it up, here's the invoice, and they actually have the invoice on here showing the entered amount, invoice value, duties, $255,000. Now, what's wild about this here, they said, we've been working on moving our manufacturing out of China for a year now. Now those efforts have been accelerated. We'll probably be out within 60 days now, manufacturing back in Seattle.
About time, I'd say.
This is wild. This is a huge change up. And so, I mean, the prices on a lot of stuff, I think we're going to see some huge spikes as retailers try to dump this inventory. But at the same time, it's given a lot of these companies incentives now to start bringing stuff back to the U.S.
Which is exactly what was the motive here behind this. You know, we're spending. And see, the problem is when you start sending all of this money overseas and we start buying all of their stuff, it degrades the value of the dollar because it doesn't stay inside of the United States.
That's exactly right.
You know, so now it's in China instead of in the U.S.
And we've talked about it before. You know,
multiplier effect.
Money trickles down. You know, you've got somebody that buys product from someone, somebody sells product. And what does that person do? Well, that person may go to a restaurant that night and goes and buys dinner. And they tip their waitress or waiter in cash. And that money gets back using the economy. Well, the problem with it is when these companies are funneling all this cash to China, it's constantly leaving the country, just like he said. And so it constantly is removing the value of the dollar out and out and out. And so bringing this cash back in is going to be a very, very profitable thing to the United States. However, we're going to have to basically tighten our belts for probably the next 6 to 12 months as some of these things are going to take a little bit of a bite out of everything when it comes to cost, as a lot of these companies now are not going to want to keep posting these.
Well, you know, one thing I did notice with China, I remember years ago, you know, you buy some dress clothes, like you know, polo or something like that, which I don't do that. I don't use polo anymore. But, you know, you buy, this is a long time ago, you pay like $50 for a pair of shorts.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a long time. It's 20 years ago. And then China came in and started spooling up all their textile. All of a sudden, the shorts went from $50 to $10.
Yeah.
Now, I did like that. That was nice. And the problem is a lot of the manufacturers in America, because of legacy costs, had risen the prices, so had rose the prices so much. But the problem is, you know, now we don't have a lot of those legacy costs because most of those doggone textile mills are out of business.
Yeah.
They're done. And so they're going to have to spool those things back up again, hopefully get those things back online. By the way, more Americans on Ozempic are going blind. This is a bad side effect, Austin.
Yes.
As doctors sound the alarm of a potentially startling effect, experts have sounded the alarm about the blockbuster weight loss drugs like Ozempic, leaving users blind. Several studies have linked the shots to conditions that cause inflammation and block blood flow to the eye, causing severe and sometimes permanent vision loss. New researchers have detailed 9 new reports of U.S. patients who went blind after taking these types of products. This is nuts. One woman injected one dose for her diabetes, woke up the next morning blind in her left eye, Austin.
That's
one dose.
Good.
This prompted her to stop the medication for 2 months before her diabetes forced her to go back on it. 2 weeks after restarting, she lost vision in her other eye as well. Now she's blind. Another woman who had been taking this product for a year woke up one morning with a painless shadow over her left eye. Testing, you know, revealed blood vessels in her retina had been severely damaged, leading to blindness. And one suffered bleeding in the left eye after taking these types of products, you know, for a year. However, doctors told him to keep taking the drug due to the lack of evidence of linking this condition to weight loss. So he's going blind and they're telling him to keep taking it. Crazy. Because there's no evidence, but something just happened. The researchers wrote in the JAMA of Ophthalmology last month that it's not clear exactly what would be causing the side effect. The experts said while the exact cause is unclear, drugs like these are rapidly lowering blood sugar levels that could damage blood vessels in the eyes, leading to vision loss. The experts said while the exact cause is unclear, they basically can lower insulin, lowering blood sugar levels that could damage blood vessels around the eyes. Now, this is a serious problem. Now, you know, here's the thing. I'm going to talk to you guys for just a second about some health stuff, if you don't mind. If you're trying to lose weight, it's really important you cut out high glycemic carbohydrates. That's really important. You don't want to be eating a bunch of pasta and rice and potatoes and bread. And you really got to kind of stay away from, you know, high-fat dairy products, especially the ultra-processed ones that have, like, no nutritional value. If you stay with something like chicken, grilled chicken or baked chicken or even, you know, the rotisserie chicken, you get those pretty cheap now, and you mix it with, like, fresh organic vegetables, you really don't elevate insulin very much because you don't really elevate blood sugar very much. And your body will start releasing a compound that will help to burn the body fat rather than store it with insulin from the sugar that you're eating. So rather than trying to take a product like this, why not just go on like chicken and vegetables or grilled fish and vegetables or even grilled beef and vegetables, pretty much as much as you want to eat.
And throw eggs in there.
And throw some eggs in there, and you'll find very quickly you start losing weight very, very quickly as far as the ability of the body to start processing the doggone fat and getting rid of it. So I'd rather try that first, Austin, wouldn't you, instead of basically going in there and taking a product product like Ozempic, and like these studies are now trying to seem to indicate that can increase the risks of blindness.
Well, no, and that's the issue. The thing with Ozempic, and again, this is what the pharmaceutical industry brought forth to the market, is that it was a diabetic drug. It was never a fat loss or weight loss drug. And a lot of times, and from what I've been told, is it's been abused now to lose weight. And the issue a lot of people don't realize is that one of the biggest things you can do is cutting out the ultra-processed foods. One thing that a lot of people fail to realize is a lot of these ingredients, and this is something that's going to go in this research study here in a second, I'm going to explain to you guys. These things like soybean oil, canola oil, high fructose corn
omega
syrup,
six.
Omega 6 oils like the soybean oil, it's very difficult for the body to process these. It's very difficult for the body to use these as fuel. People don't realize that. Omega 6 oils like canola oil and soybean oil, they're not able to be processed by the body very well. So a lot of times the body has to store them as fat, and they're so toxic, the body can't do anything with them. And it's saying here now that ultra processed foods are linked to thousands of premature deaths, according to this research study. Just from chips to breakfast cereal, highly processed foods are displacing traditional diets and driving health risk worldwide.
It's also lowering population rates.
Yes. It says, published in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine, highlights the need for global action to reduce the intake of ultra-processed foods. It says the industrial-produced items that are ready to eat contain little or no whole foods and make up over 50% of the average American's diet. And that's what's crazy about this when you start looking at it, how often now people are consuming this stuff. And it's causing such an imbalance because it's like, okay, yeah, I always try to go off the 80-20 world diet. If you eat pretty clean about 80% of the time, you'll stay in pretty good shape. Stay pretty good as far as overall. 20%, you want to have a burger sometimes or something fun like that. Okay, cool. But eating this stuff on a regular basis is really linking to all types of issues. It says the 2021 study also noted that high consumption of UPFs associated with various health issues, including heart disease, obesity, diabetes, cancer, depression, further adding to the growing body of evidence that UPFs are harming public health.
Well, you know, we talked a minute ago about elevated insulin levels. That's called Syndrome X. And when you have Syndrome X, what ends up happening is the body has elevated insulin like all of the time. And so you're constantly storing the sugar as body fat. And there's another hormone the body releases called glucagon. And it helps the body to release the stored body fat and burn it for fuel. The problem is with elevated insulin, it's like stepping on the gas and the brake at the same time. Your body doesn't release glucagon. It simply doesn't do it. So your body's constantly storing fat. That's why so many people are having health problems and weight problems and diabetes problems. That's why so many people have become overweight. That's why so many people are carrying so much internal fat. I mean, it's amazing to me how many people that I see on a regular basis that really eat horribly. It really is. I mean, you start looking at a restaurant. The other day I was at a birthday party, and a lady was there, and a great lady, you know, very nice. And all of a sudden I looked at her pasta that she's eating. She had a giant plate of pasta. She weighed about 350 pounds. And I thought, well, she's going to just keep gaining more and more weight because her elevated carbohydrates are going to increase elevated glucose, and her body's going to continue to produce insulin and not release glucagon. And her husband was also very overweight. You think, well, this is awful. And they're really, really nice people. They are. And then the husband was having problems with seizures because he was basically, I believe, drinking diet sodas. And so you think about it for a second. If you know that diet sodas are going to cause seizures and headaches and optic nerve degradation because they contain phenylalanine, aspartic acid, and methanol, which is what's in aspartame. I did a whole article on it. It's called Aspartame, A Chronicle of Crime. You can read it on the Health Masters website or the Team Health Masters website. And the reality is that when you have a product like that that's causing so many health issues, it messes up blood sugar regulation, makes you want to crave more carbohydrates. So you shouldn't be drinking diet sodas at all. Drink water. Drink purified water without fluorine and chlorine. And we covered yesterday, the state of Florida is now basically taking fluoride out of the water supply in the entire state.
From the research that they've done now, they're deciding that we're pretty much going to be the second state to pull fluoride out.
Other than Utah.
And the thing that I've always told everybody, I say, if you really feel like you want to use fluoride, that's your choice. Buy mouthwash or toothpaste. I don't recommend it. We carry the mouthwash and toothpaste at our office without any fluoride.
I would never recommend fluoride.
I would never recommend it. But adding it to the municipal water supply and forcing everybody to be subjected to it, you're basically drugging the water without consent.
Well, as fluoride is, you know, same thing as Prozac. They're fluoride compounds. They're unbelievably bad. And, oh, by the way, Trump now has decided he didn't like PBS and NPR. So his order, signing an executive order directing federal funding cuts to PBS and NPR, they're probably kind of a liberal, you know, news organization and agency. President Donald Trump on Thursday signed an executive order aiming to slash public subsidies to PBS and NPR as he alleged a bias in the broadcaster's reporting. There's no alleged. It's very biased. The order instructs the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and other federal agencies to cease federal funding for NPR and PBS, and further requires that they work to root out indirect sources of public financing for the news organizations, which they do that through the back door. The White House, in a social media posting announcing the signing, said the outlets receive millions from taxpayers to spread radical, woke propaganda designed as news. Isn't that interesting? And the latest move by Trump and his administration to utilize federal powers to control or hamstring institutions whose actions or viewpoints he disagrees with. Since taking office, Trump has ousted leaders, placed staff on administrative leave, and cut off millions, hundreds of millions of dollars in funding artists, libraries, museums, theaters, and others. And I will say a lot of communists, I'll mention that, through the takeovers of the John F. Kennedy Center for the Performing Arts and the National Endowment for the Humanities. Trump has also pushed to withhold federal research and education funds from universities and punish law firms unless they agree to eliminate diversity programs and other measures Trump has found objectionable. Well, to me, I like the fact that he's actually said this is objectionable.
Yeah.
I don't like this stuff. I don't like what they're doing to the United States of America. They're trying to change our culture through cultural Marxism, and they're trying to destroy the very fabric of the family. You know, God is so important in our lives, but the family is also so important. And unless we have a proper family nucleus and a proper nuclear family, we simply can't continue as Americans in the United States. And we need to be aware of that. So I applaud these actions to try to get rid of communists and root it out. This all started back in 1933 from the Frankfurt School. You know, Goethe University in Germany. They fled Germany after Hitler was put into power. They went to Switzerland, then they left Switzerland. They went to Columbia University and started the Frankfurt School to try to teach cultural Marxism, and it has permeated itself through the university systems throughout the world right now. And basically what they're trying to do is bring in a concept called Cloward and Piven. There were a couple of professors out of Berkeley that's going to overwhelm the social network and the social welfare system in the United States to cause the collapse of the republic. The craziest part is this. Then it's always nuts to me. You have these extreme liberals pushing this agenda, trying to destroy the very country they live in. Now think about that for a second. So if once they destroy the United States of America, where are they going to go next? Someplace else to destroy another country? Where are they going to end up living if the entire world turns into a hellscape? I always thought this was interesting when these people destroy themselves. It's like shooting yourself in a foot because you're mad at somebody else. It doesn't make any sense. You know what I'm saying, Austin? You know, I'm going to blow my
foot
off.
I'm mad at you. I'm going to shoot myself in the knee.
So why am I doing that? I mean, so it doesn't make any sense. Why do they want to destroy the very country that brought them prosperity and gave them the ability to have freedom of speech?
Well, and one thing why it's so important, I'm going to cover this right now, why it's so important to really be, you know, cognitive, especially this younger generation, what they're exposed to. I have no problem with video games. I think video games.
Why do we have a girl with a bikini on our show here?
That's a great question. I'm going to tell you in a second.
Here we go.
This is Grand Theft Auto 6. This is a screenshot from it on Zero Hedge. And as I said before, if, you know, adults want to play video games, and certain games that have certain context to them, I don't care. Everybody's got a right to do whatever they want. The problem is a lot of these video games are being pushed on young children, and allowing them to play these games can have very severe consequences later on in life, with research that we're seeing now. As you know, Grand Theft Auto 6 has gotten delayed again, which, surprise, surprise, more research is coming out now. Says virtual violence, how does it affect children? It says, since the earliest motion pictures, adults have worried about children will respond to violent imagery. It says, understanding the virtual world means in your child's world. And it goes into detail now how decades of research have linked virtual violence to aggressive thoughts, feelings, and actions in children. And this is being more basically expanded upon with video games and social media. It says, witnessing violent acts, whether real or simulated, gives kids the sense that aggression is normal, acceptable, and this leads them to act out when they see or hear, including some very, very dark things like you have on Grand Theft Auto 6. This is National Library of Medicine. This is a research study that was done back in 2022. It said, violent video game exposure and problem behaviors among children and adolescents, the median role of deviant peer affiliation for gender and grade differences. And it goes into detail here, talking about how exposure to violent video games significantly predicted problem behaviors. Meaning they knew if children were being exposed to excessive violence in video games, they knew they were going to have behavioral issues.
See, we saw this yesterday. We talked about the pre-crime initiative right now in the New York subway.
Yes. Yeah, it ties into that. So, I mean, the research is able to expand on it. But what's crazy about this is now, it's so wild to me how I've talked to some parents and like, oh, yeah, my kid's playing this game and that. And I'm like, your kid's like 9. Why in the world are they playing Grand Theft Auto 5? And why are they going around robbing everybody and carjacking and armed home invasion?
The graphics are so insane.
Well, and that's why I had that photo up earlier with the girl in the bikini. That was all digital screenshot from Grand Theft Auto 6.
That was a screenshot?
That wasn't a real photo.
You're kidding.
No, that's a screenshot from the video game.
Wow.
That's why I put that up there.
That's how real it looks.
That's how real it gets, guys. And so, again, just be cognitive of what your children are exposed to on video games, because it's bad enough in movies. It's a whole different world when these kids are engulfing themselves into these games for 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day, and they actually go into the game. Because remember, their brains at a young age don't have the ability to decipher realism from basically theater. They can't do it. So when they get into these games and they start acting this behavior and they start doing this stuff, they want to emulate it in real life because there is no switch in their brain to really determine this is real, this is a video game. Everything starts becoming mended and meshed, which is a problem.
Real problem, you know, something about a lot of you who are turning into YouTube now and watching the show today, you've never seen it before. Let me give you a quote from an old singer. He's passed away now, but he goes, "I don't know where I'm going from here, but I promise it won't be boring." That's kind of our mantra, I guess I could say, on this show. You know, we're going to continue to cover these news stories, and we're going to continue to cover these facts, and we're going to cover a lot more of them in detail on Rumble. But the reality is that, you know, I kind of know where we're going from here, and it's not going to be where most people think we're going to go, because quite frankly, we start talking to you in the real world about who really runs the planet. So it's kind of exciting to get into that kind of detail. Yeah. What do you think? What's your next story, buddy?
No, you're absolutely right. And that's why, again, I appreciate all the support at thebrowershow.com. Be sure to go on there and sign up for the weekly newsletter. Put your name, email, sign up for the Brower Show and also Team Health Masters. You can do either one or the other. I recommend both. Team Health Masters gets you all the updates on all of our new supplements, including our new batch of Switzerland creatine, a buffered controlled release formula that is in stock. And I got more coming in right now, especially from the research that we've been showing on what creatine actually does for the brain, what it does in helping people if they actually are having issues with sleep. So they're showing sleep deprivation and creatine actually helps the brain function better and has protective properties in preventing the body from having as much effect, negative effect. From
yeah, I took the creatine last night before I went to bed. Man, I slept like a baby.
I know. It's very strange.
And this creatine we use comes out of Switzerland, doesn't it?
Well, this is an article we put together here, and it says creatine unlocked fueling cells and elevating cognitive performance because it plays such a role in helping cells recycle ATP. And I'm not going to get into detail in this article. You can go on the website at Team Health Masters and read it. But what I've talked about as well is one of the biggest issues with creatine is it too many people are taking it improperly. And let me explain it to you. You see it's in powder, you see it's in gummies, you see it's in pre-workout. When you're taking high doses of free creatine like that and you're putting it in the stomach, when the stomach gets creatine in it, the hydrochloric acid breaks down creatine into what's called creatinine. It's a byproduct, a huge portion of it. Now, the rest that's left of the body can absorb in the small intestines, gets absorbed, helps out with ATP, helps out with basically fluid retention in the muscles and energy.
And the brain.
In the brain. The problem is the creatinine is flushed through the kidneys. The kidney levels have massive elevation of creatinine, which is actually toxic to them. So you start having this more swollen, bloated effect, not necessarily water retention in the muscle cells, but a swollen, bloated effect from water retention because the kidneys are being overworked from creatinine. That is why the only way I have found the best way to make creatine work is in controlled release capsules. And hardly anybody does this because it's way more work. And you don't need nearly the high dose of it. 1,000 to 1,500 milligrams, 1 to 2 times a day, is all you need of this formula.
I take 1,000 a day.
And that's a good supplementation. So what it does is the capsules are designed to break down in the small intestines and bypass the stomach. Creatine is designed to be absorbed in the small intestines. That's where it's designed to be picked up from basically the food you eat, like steak. When you take it like this, it has much better effects, much lower doses, gets you much better results, and no stress on the kidneys. Because I've done blood work before over the years. I tried to do blood work every 6 months, and I noticed when I was taking heavy doses of creatine years ago, my creatinine levels would be off the chart in my kidneys. And my physician's like, "Dude, you got to watch your kidney levels, dude." And I'm like, "I'm taking like 10 grams of creatine a day. I'm putting it in everything." He's like, "No, stop that. It's not good." Now I get them tested, running this product. I get the same effects, except better, no side effects, and I don't have any issues with creatinine.
And one thing about it makes you a lot stronger in the gym.
Oh, yeah. That's where everybody loves creatine.
Yeah, the other day I was doing leg press, right? And we were going to cut back on it the other day. And we normally do like 8 sets of 30 reps. Mm-hmm. And we'd gotten up early in the morning. We were kind of like at 7, and I told Van, my workout partner, former NFL player, I said, "Van, I said, let's just do 20 reps today instead of 30. It's early. I mean, I'm not awake." And I did the first set of 20. I thought, that was really easy.
Yeah.
Because I've been doing the creatine, right? And I've been also doing the protein, amino acids.
Yeah.
And the peptides. And I thought, okay, it was really easy. I told Van, I said, scratch that. Let's go back up to 30.
There you go.
20 reps too easy.
Yeah.
So we end up doing 8 sets of 30 reps or 240 leg press. Now, when I do the leg press, I don't come all the way down. I used to do it all the way. You see your knees hit your chest.
You got to watch make sure your back doesn't roll.
Can't let your back roll. And basically what you're trying to do is just maintain your lean muscle mass and your quadriceps. You don't need to use a bunch of heavy weight. Just do more reps. But be very, very careful before you start any exercise program. Better check with your doctor. Make sure your cardiovascular system can handle it. Because I've been training for a long time. And quite frankly, I try to stay in as best shape as I can. Yesterday, I had a car delivered to me. And
yeah.
It had been in the shop. And the guy was in great shape. He's 6'4", former sheriff from Hillsborough County.
Okay.
He's about 6'3", 6'4", weighed about 240. And he's like 65 years old. He's in great shape.
Yeah.
I said, dude, you must work out. He goes, I've been working out my whole life.
There you go.
And he looked 30 years younger than he was. And I thought to myself, a little bit of work, a little bit of working out, a little bit of eating the right kind of foods, you can really maintain longevity and your health for a very, very long time. But guys, listen to me. If you're 20, 30, 40 years old and you haven't been working out, it's really time to start because you're going to start losing about 7% of your lean muscle mass every year if you don't. And pretty soon you're going to have little tiny arms, little tiny neck. You're going to be weak. Your back's not going to be as strong as it used to be. You're going to be pulling muscles all the time. Very, very important.
Well, one thing I just want to add on that as well is the thing about it with exercising, it's all about discipline and consistency. Because, there's many a times people are like, oh, well, you're training this many days. Okay, it's not always about every single workout has to be an absolute just blowout on the floor.
You can't do that
all the time, especially as you get older. Your central nervous system can't handle neither.
I don't do that at all anymore.
Yeah. We've done it.
I did when I was younger. You have to walk with a bucket.
Laying on the ground for 20 minutes trying to breathe and not throw up.
And don't do that, by the way. It's not necessary.
It depends what your goal is, but we're not recommending that.
Don't do that over the age of 40. How about that?
There you go. Staying consistent with discipline is one of the key factors. Even if you're just getting outside and you're doing some exercise. Doing something, staying active. Of course, weight training is ideal. Other types of activity that keep your body stronger, ideal. But staying consistent, that's the thing. I'm going to work. I knew people back in the day, they were in pretty good shape in their early 20s. And they'd do is they like 2 or 3 months for the summer, they'd start training again. After the summer was over, you never saw them in the gym. They turned into a ghost. Then about March, back in the gym again. Well, that was okay when you're 21, 22, 23. And now I'm starting to see everybody, in my late 30s and 40s. And everybody that you can see who actually took care of themselves, who actually exercised, who's eating clean. And you see all the ones who they've been drinking beer and eating pizza for the last 20 years and haven't stepped foot in a gym. And it really starts separating at about 40. And I've noticed that.
Now, the one thing, though, if you're going to work out and you're young, listen to me, if you're a teenager and you're really hitting the weights hard, don't do heavy squats. If you can't do 25 reps, don't do it.
Well, barbell squats. Some of the machines you can do heavier on.
But be careful because I just watched a video of Ronnie Coleman yesterday.
Oh, the 800-pound squats?
He was
a monster.
Have you seen him now, how he has to walk?
He's
crippled up.
He was
bad.
A legend.
He's probably the greatest bodybuilder of all time. But the reality is, he was incredibly strong. He pushed all those heavy weights. And everybody that I know in bodybuilding who squatted more than 700 pounds, all of them, their hips are trashed and their backs are trashed. And so don't be doing that. If you can't do 25 reps of the squat and you're young, don't do them, period.
Yeah, it's not bad advice at all, especially because the problem with it is that lower spine, that lower back, once you mess it up,
it's messed up.
It doesn't work.
I remember there was a bodybuilding legend. His name was Boyer Coe.
Yeah.
And I remember I had dinner with him one night in Tampa. Way, way back. He's one of the top bodybuilders in the world at that time. And he told me, he says, Ted, don't do squats at all if you don't want to trash your back out. When you get older, you won't be able to walk.
Yeah.
And I've seen so many people who did that are in wheelchairs. So it's very important.
Well, you're speaking from experience, though, as far as back.
I had back surgery because I didn't listen.
He's not making this up.
I've got a big zipper in my spine. And so now I got to be real careful with all the seating that I do and my car seats and everything else because I did heavy squats when I was young.
Yeah.
And, for no reason because nobody had any sense back in, when we were working out.
Yeah.
There's more weight. Throw another 100 on there. And it's crazy. And just because you can doesn't mean you should.
Yeah.
But thank God I never went over like 400 or 500 pounds on squats.
Well, in the volume training too, especially with legs, you'll find that a lot of times you can get growth and separation, really good definition, doing good volume and really pushing the muscles. Because, massively burns more body fat when you train like that too.
Well, Boyer told me this. He says, do superset leg press with leg extensions. In other words, do 12 to 15 reps of leg extensions and 12 to 15 sets of leg press and superset back and forth. And then do the same thing. Another four sets sets of leg press superset with leg curls.
And finish off your last sets pretty much to failure. Especially on a spotter. Yeah. And that's Dorian Yates. She's talking about the same thing.
And he said he's your legs will blow up.
Complete failure.
But you won't hurt your back.
Right. And not only that, you massively burn body fat. This is a new health article that just came out. It says, rethinking BMI, body mass index. Scientists are proposing body fat percentage as replacement. This is a big deal because a lot of times you'll find individuals that train a lot, our body mass index, whenever you get it tested, we're always like overweight on the scale, even though
we always
have, you know, visible abs, but yet, oh man, you're obese. I'm like, I'm not obese. Like, you're showing you're obese on your BMI. The problem with this is not really a good way to account for muscle mass or bone density.
Percentage of body fat.
Percentage of body fat's a really good way, and they're looking at this. The Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism analyzed data from 17,000 adults, and they research measures body fat percentage against BMI scores, signs of metabolic syndrome, high blood pressure, high blood sugar, excess body fat, or on the waist, and they showed that essentially BMI is not really the way to test anything anymore.
Metabolic syndrome, that's Syndrome X again.
Yes.
That's when you basically have elevated insulins and you elevate your body fat. That's what we talked about earlier in the show today.
And that's what the berberine ultimate and the cinnamon extract helped out with that. So again, if you're really trying to look at your body weight, get your body fat tested and get in a good percent range, BMI a lot of times is very
skewed.
And
if you really want to drop your body fat, you got to stay away from processed junk food. And good news is McDonald's suffers the worst U.S. sales decline since 2020.
Really?
Uh-huh. Warns of anti-American sentiment abroad.
There you go.
The latest restaurant chain report, declining sales. And McDonald's reported its worst quarterly sales for the United States since the height of the pandemic in 2020. The burger giant reported U.S. same sales fell 3.6%. That's a lot, by the way. The largest three-month drop since 2020 when they plunged 8.7%.
Wow.
Consumers, they are grappling with uncertainty. And in the follow-up call with investors, McDonald's executive said that traffic among middle-income diners fell by nearly double digits, along with the ongoing drop of low-income ones. As an example, they said more people appear to be skipping breakfast entirely, cut back on spending, or eating breakfast at home. That's why we tell you, you can use a Fit Food protein for breakfast, or you can eat some organic eggs cooked in real butter. I'm telling you guys, you don't have to go out in an expensive restaurant and get $25, $30 worth of food for breakfast. You don't have to do that. When you start stacking McDonald's stuff, it gets expensive.
Oh, yeah. They're all expensive now. I mean, the menus aren't cheap. I mean, there's an article that came out the other day. How much cheaper is cooking at home than takeout? This is just takeout. This isn't even going in and doing anything else. It says we do the math. It says it saves you about 50% of your food budget eating at home versus doing it.
I think it's a lot more
than that.
Well,
this is just compared to takeout. This isn't even going out and eating. This is just ordering food and picking it up. No. And so a lot of times, you know, you see this, and I always tell people, too, if you're trying to get your body weight under control and you're trying to grow muscle tissue and burn fat, you've got to understand what you're eating. You don't have to sit there and be in a full-blown bodybuilder mode and weigh everything down to the grams.
That's obnoxious.
Been there, done that, it gets obnoxious. Unless you're getting ready for a show or a contest, then you got to tighten up. But if you're not getting ready for a show, you're just getting in shape, make sure you got to understand what your caloric intake is and judge that accordingly for what your goal is. And a lot of times when you go out to eat, it's very difficult to do that. Granted, now they do have a lot of the restaurants where they show the calories per meal on the menu. They do that a lot now.
Well, and you know, the craziest part is when you go to these coffee places and all of a sudden they have, you know, one cup of coffee, 18-ounce cup of coffee is like 2,000 calories. Well, what the heck, man?
It was from Starbucks. I saw it last year. It was the pumpkin. I think it was the pumpkin spice latte. I looked it up online because they're advertising all over online. And I think if you got one of the big ones, I don't know the name, so don't send me emails, but they had all the ribbons and ads. It was like 600 calories. With the cream and the syrup,
let's have about three of those a day.
Now I'm like, golly, that's a big meal. 600 calories.
You know, it's funny because you know years ago I put together a list of the top 10 foods never to eat.
Yeah,
okay, and we've covered that throughout the years. I'm going to cover a few of those right now. And here's why I'm going to give you the reasons why. The number one food never to eat if you're really concerned about your health are the high fat luncheon meats.
Yes.
I include bacon, sausage, ham, pepperoni, hot dogs in that category. Just this week, just yesterday, we covered sodium nitrite poisonous and toxic it is. And sodium nitrite is in almost all of these processed luncheon meats, and they're unbelievably bad for you.
It's getting recalled. It has so much in it.
And it basically causes an increased risk of cancer and intestinal cancers because those nitrates turn into nitrosamines, and they're very potent cancer-causing agents in the intestinal tract. In fact, they're so toxic in high dosages, they have to recall the food. It's like a tier one recall. Then number two are aspartame products. We mentioned that earlier in the show already. You know, you don't mix those together either with nitrites because you form a compound called the diketiopeperazine integrates to a nitrous urea that causes brain cancer in laboratory animals. So don't ever put diet sodas in your body at all. And don't ever use the other stuff like Splenda. That's all bad for you, too. That's a chlorocarbon. Just avoid that. You can use stevia, or you can use, you know, monk fruit, or you can just drink water. You don't have to be entertained by it. You know, a little stevia in a glass of ice water with a couple fresh squeezed lemons makes a pretty good lemonade. It really does. I love it.
Helps blood sugar, too.
It helps blood sugar, too. It really does. Number three are margarine products. Don't do that. Use butter instead, period. Nobody wants to eat trans fats anymore. Who wants to
do
that?
And omega-6s.
And omega-6s, yeah.
And if you're soybean and canola.
Yeah, don't touch those. Don't touch those. Number four, shellfish. That's lobster, shrimp, oyster, prawns, scallops, crabs, clams. Avoid those. Meat grouper, red snapper, orange roughy, wild salmon. All those are good fish, but those other ones aren't. You know, like don't eat catfish. Don't eat eels. I mean, don't eat eels. Eels are just nasty. You know, people eat eels. You go to restaurants in Japan, Austin. I've been over there before, and they got eels swimming in a tank.
Well, my favorite one.
You pick the eel you want to eat.
I was at a real high-end dinner one time, and somebody ordered this octopus for, you know, appetizer. And it wasn't the one where, like, it's fried. That comes out, and they got full octopus tentacles. And I'm looking at it, like, you want to try it? I'm like, you know, I'm a certified scuba diver. I've been in the water, pretty much every living thing, including sharks. Octopus has just never been one of those things. I see them growing. Now, they're cool. Don't get me wrong. In the wild, octopus are actually really smart. They're really cool animals.
They are.
I don't have any interest in eating the tentacles with the suction cups on them. I've watched Nielsen, and I'm looking, I'm a pass, guys. But again, that's just my personal preference.
I remember a couple of years ago, Sharon and I took a couple out to dinner, and of course, this lady orders octopus.
Yeah.
And she was hurling in the toilet for 3 days.
Was she?
Oh, man, she was sick.
It's just, it's a food that's really not meant for human consumption. It has a very specific purpose in the water. And it just, they're cool. They're awesome. They'll crawl up your arm and stuff, small as you got to be careful a little. I've seen them actually go on people's face and try to pull their mask off and stuff.
Aliens.
Yeah, they are. They will.
Wow. It's awful.
I mean, but they're cool. But this, like I said, to me, I'd rather watch them out in the water instead of try to eat them.
Well, number five is the junk food category we just mentioned a minute ago.
Ultra-processed
foods.
The chips.
Soybean oils.
Candies.
Canola oil. Avoid all of that stuff. Number six is going to be the high-fat dairy products. I include, just all the ultra-processed dairy products.
Ice cream.
Yeah. But every once in a while, it's not that big of a deal.
Well, if you do try to get ice cream, if you are going to eat it, I do like ice cream. I try to stay away from it, though, because the older I get, the more it messes up my sinuses.
Yeah, I noticed you've been kind of stuffed up as
well. Yeah, I took Hunter out last night.
You had ice cream. It always does that to you.
He wanted to go get some stuff because he's had his birthday. He had a gift card. He wanted to go buy. So I took him out, and he goes, Dad, can we get some ice cream? And I'm like, we don't need ice cream.
That's why you got up when I was talking. I had to go blow your nose with the ice cream. Okay,
yeah,
I got it.
Yeah, and the problem is, it's so hard to eat just a bite of ice cream.
I know.
You want to eat a lot of it. But then the problem is the next day.
You feel awful.
You feel awful. The sugar in it.
Oh, yeah.
But if you try to eat it, try to get the cleanest kind without high fructose corn syrup or without this fake dairy now.
Now, the only one that I have found now that's got any kind of decency to it is the Häagen-Dazs.
Häagen-Dazs, yeah. Most of them have monodiglycerides, polysorbit 80, high fructose corn syrup.
They're not even.
Put it this way. If you put an ice cream in a cup or bowl, and you had it on the counter, and you forget to eat it or you eat half of it, and you come back 45 minutes later, and it's still sitting there.
Now it's warm.
It hasn't melted.
It hasn't melted, though.
That's got all types of stabilizers in it that is really, really toxic for your body.
Yeah.
Häagen-Dazs, you eat Häagen-Dazs, this stuff melts instantaneously.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, it's a bowl of milk in 5 minutes if you don't eat it.
Häagen-Dazs, you can send us a check.
I've tried to promote. I mean, you don't even eat ice cream.
Seven is chlorine and fluoride in the water supply. Don't do it. Those are halogens. They're like bromine too in the dairy and the bread products, and they really mess up the thyroid and really, really mess up fat burning metabolism in the body.
That is true.
Number nine are coffee products. Use the purple sticks instead. Coffee is going to massively increase cortisol levels, and that cortisol is going to really increase, you know, the gaining of body fat. It's going to make you age really fast. And number 10 are alcohol products. If you're going to drink alcohol, do it in moderation. Take acetylcysteine. We have that NAC product to detoxify the liver. But be careful. And what you want to don't want to ever do is mix alcohol with acetaminophen.
Or Tylenol.
Or Tylenol. Yeah, I mean, that's a bad product when you mix that stuff together. You got to avoid all of that stuff. And, you know, alcoholism and drinking alcohol and getting drunk a lot, that's an elevator that only goes one way, and that's down. So avoid all of that stuff. It's very, very important. It's not, I'm not preaching at you from a moral standpoint. I'm preaching at you right now from a health standpoint.
Well, and this is the detox made simple. That's the formula we put together with the liver support and the inside in us little cysteine. So if you do have a Christmas party or something you're going to, and you want to feel good the next day and not just feel good, also make sure you're getting the toxins out of your system, because cleansing that liver and making sure the kidneys and liver are protected are really, really crucial. And these two supplements together do an incredibly good job at that. They've even been shown in different types of studies, especially the N-acetylcysteine, to really protect the liver and all types of certain elements, including regenerating it. Again, that's the research that they've shown on there. So that's why we put that together on that topic. So you're absolutely right.
By the way, they're also doing federal cuts to NOAA, N-O-A-A. It could be an incredible blow for the Chesapeake storm reporting. A summer and hurricane season nears. Weather and environmental officials say that federal cuts to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration will negatively impact climate research, education, and storm reporting. The Trump administration reported plans to cut their budget by nearly $6.1 billion. Why do they have a $6.1 billion budget? What the heck are they doing with radar systems that cost that much? Oh, I don't know. We don't go there.
We got DARPA with that one.
We got to go HARP right now. Yeah, and the Angels don't play this HARP. Just going to mention that. You know, it says the you go back to Rumble. We'll talk about that. The Trump administration reportedly plans to cut NOAA's budget by $6.1 billion, budget by 27% to $4.5 billion. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of cash.
Why are they doing this? According to an internal administration's document obtained by ProPublica, the proposed cuts would close the Cooperative Institute for Marine and Atmospheric Studies and the Atlantic Oceanographic and Meteorological Laboratory, which could end support for budget's Hurricane Hunter missions, and cut funding to the Office of Oceanic and Atmospheric Research by nearly 75%. The environmentalists on Chesapeake Bay are worried about how cuts could affect the ecosystem restoration. Wait a minute. They just want their money. They don't get fired. That's why they don't worry about anything. The budget for the National Marine Fisheries Service, the agency that manages fisheries and marine ecosystems under NOAA, will be cut roughly 30% from a $1.1 billion to $789. You know, it's so funny. When I was at Florida State, I took an estuary ecology class one time, and they took us out, and we went into the bay, and we actually had trammel nets, and we tried to see what was out there,
yeah.
And we were doing research and all the rest of this stuff. And people don't realize how much the environment affects fisheries.
Oh, yeah.
It really does, especially in river. Freshwater rivers that end up having homes on them that pump glyphosate,
yeah,
you know, and atrazine pesticides into the water. You know, last couple of years ago, we actually took the kids over to Silver Springs.
Yep.
And when I was a kid, you get on these glass bottom boats, right? And there were literally hundreds of thousands of fish under the boats
everywhere.
You know, now we're trying to find a fish.
I know.
A fish.
With a lot of these compounds, we're wiping out the fish population. It's
well, because
not
the atrazine messes up the reproductive cycle. And the crazy part about that, the guy had been out there for like 40 years doing this, running the same glass bottom boat.
Yeah.
And he told me, I said, you know, we were here a long time ago. It wasn't like this. He goes, no, we don't have any fish anymore. He goes, you know, they usually go downstream where the current's not as strong from these springs.
Yeah.
And he says they swim back upstream. He goes, but because of all of the runoff from all of the pesticides and all of the atrazine, they no longer reproduce.
So he's watched it happen.
He watched it happen. I mean, there were literally just a few fish, and there used to be literally millions of them there. So I found that so odd. So I've seen it personally. Also, when we go scuba diving.
Yeah.
I remember one time down in West Palm, back in the 70s, I went scuba diving down there, and I remember we went to a wreck dive, and there were literally so many fish that you had to push them out of your way.
I know, there's schools everywhere.
No. Now you go diving down there, and you have to bring vegetables with you, like frozen vegetables, and you got to bait fish to try to get any to see any fish. No, it's horrible. And so what's happened to the fisheries in the coastal areas is pretty serious. But I just don't know if these guys are doing their job and we're giving them billions of dollars a year. Why are we having such a drop off anyhow?
Yeah.
What are they doing with all that money? And that's the question I'm asking.
Well, the same thing got asked the question with the EPA. You know, they go in and start putting these unbelievably obscure laws in place with certain restrictions that don't really make any sense. But then they keep things approved, like glyphosate, and they keep all these other compounds approved.
It's true.
They're just, that's fine. They're approved for human use, for food use, for animal use. And you start looking 10, 20 years later, we're like, well, these have caused significant problems. The EPA goes, whoopsie, we'll look into that again. So
you're spending billions of dollars, and that's a lot of money.
It's a lot of cash.
You know, that's a thousand millions.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's a lot of money. And where's all that money going?
A lot of payroll.
And why are we not, you know, learning how to monitor storms better? Why are we not? All this money, a lot of times it's because of the Peter principle. As levels of management increase, so does inefficiency. And most of the time you can take about 80% of those types of individuals and cut them out completely and just have the other 20% that are really productive work and do it. Because that's the 20-80 rule. 20% of the people are going to do 80% of the work. 80% of the people are going to do 20% of the work, usually an organizational function just as well with the 20% is doing 80% of the work.
That helps a lot.
Because you massively cut down on, you know, on production costs and overhead expenses.
Yep. Now, so that's why, guys, we bring this show to you guys every single day. Hope you've enjoyed it. Team Health Masters, be sure to check out the different specials and kits we have on here, including the GHI Cleanse Formula, and also on sale for Product of the Week, the D3 10,000 K2. And sign up for the weekly podcast, the daily podcast, I should say. Put your email name in and sign up for the emails. Get them right to it. Hope you guys have enjoyed the show today. Have a fantastic evening. Stay strong and healthy. We'll talk to you again on this show next episode. You guys have a blessed night.
Love you guys. Thanks for your support. Got to pray for you again this morning. It means the world to me. Get to talk about Jesus on the show all the time. Get to talk to people about how God is real and how prayer changes things. And if you like that kind of broadcast, this will be the show for you. I love you guys, and I appreciate you. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend.